Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Laura Olson and we're going to be visiting about the Little Lambs Preschool where Laura is the lead teacher for four-year-olds. Good morning to you, Laura.
Good morning, LaVon.
Laura, I'm thinking you have one of the funnest jobs ever. I thought if I'd ever start over, I think I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher.
It is a fun job. It is absolutely a thrill watching the children make connections and learn things. Learn by doing with their hands in the middle of bread dough or the garden or
wherever,
paint or whatever sort of mess we're creating that day.
And, you know, you said mess. And for some homes, for some people, that's kind of like, oh, no, we don't do a mess in our home. But it's cleanable. Most things are cleanable, right?
That's right. And we don't let things get out of control,
right.
Of course.
There you go.
You know, there's a purpose to what we're doing. And I don't mind, and my parents don't mind cleaning up when they're done.
Yes.
Kids help.
Well, and there's a clue, too. Kids can help do those kinds of things.
Right.
And that's a learning in itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So four-year-old, three, four, five, to me, they just kind of are like little sponges. They're so excited and learning so many things.
Oh, absolutely. And the best way for them to learn is by doing things on their own. If we do a science experiment, I want everybody to have their own materials, not just watching, observing a science experiment. If we're making bread, I want everybody to have their own lump of dough to knead and shape and bake and eat for snack. We don't want people just to be observing things. We want children to be right in the middle and experiencing and experimenting and learning.
Give me an example of a science experiment. You go, four-year-olds are doing science experiments?
Oh,
give me an example.
Yeah, we have a wonderful grant through the pint-sized science, through the STEM grants. And I took a class last year, and then they gave us several totes of materials. And then I'm taking a class again tomorrow for the second year, and they'll give us more materials. So for an easy one, this is almost the favorite. I think my kids would be happy to do this experiment every week because we always have Science Friday. And so we always look forward to Science Friday and what's the experiment going to be. And they would like it if they were exploding.
Exploding.
They always want them to be a exploding one, which isn't really an explosion, but
right,
something
right.
Bubbly and frothing. And,
yeah.
You know. So the very favorite one is vinegar and baking soda. Very simple, very
pretty
inexpensive, safe, easy to clean up. And they just absolutely love to start with an eyedropper and a little tiny reaction and to dumping their cups in a larger reaction. You have to start small because you know it's going to escalate.
Yes.
So that's an example of something safe for children to do.
And, sure. And seeing kind of, well, chemistry at work, I
absolutely.
Guess.
Absolutely. And you can throw in all kinds of vocabulary. It's crucial for children to continually learn new words. And I don't drill them on them. We just use the word, and then you hear the children using them later. And
it's
so
stuck.
That's an example of science.
Yeah, it's stuck. That's and... You know, you and other teachers are such mentors, such role models, and sometimes we forget how much those little minds are absorbing. They see and hear everything.
Oh, they certainly do. You have to be aware of how you're reacting and talking to people because you want it to be a good example.
Yes, exactly. So in your group of four-year-olds, how many do you usually work with?
Well, it just depends from year to year. It always changes. We're hoping for more enrollment this year.
What's your limit? What's your top number?
I think 20 is our top number. I've never had 20.
Okay.
And I like smaller classes
yes.
than that where I can be more individual. One thing I have made a goal to do last year was to read to each child. My goal was every day individually.
Oh.
And during free play, I would just snag them over and say, choose a book and we read it. Now, we didn't always get that done if we were doing some other big project, but at least twice a week I read to children individually, which I think is far more beneficial than only reading in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the child gets to choose the book.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that can be very different for each child also.
Absolutely.
Kind of. And I think that gets you knowing that child a little more.
Oh, it certainly does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, and I, I think reading to children is the most crucial thing to do in helping them develop their reading, the skills that they need to be able to read when they're older. And when I tell my parents, you know, you could buy a $1,000 computer program, you could take your child to a tutor, you could spend all kinds of money and time, but I don't think any of them have the value that just reading to your child.
Well, when you think about reading, there's so much involved there. I mean, the closeness with the child and so many activities. It's not just reading the words and telling the story.
No, it's building a relationship, and you always want it to be a positive experience. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be a negative experience. And they start to catch letters or sounds as you're reading. Maybe they'll say, that's my T in my name, and, you know, recognize a letter in the text, and then you can say, yeah, it is. Can you find the M for mom? Or, mm-hmm. And just in fun ways, start to increase awareness that words are made of letters and sounds, and that this is something you will be able to do eventually, is to decode those words and read your own books.
And yes, and again, they're absorbing those words as you go. And
vocabulary.
They may not actually be able to read it, but I know that some kids can memorize a book as you read it. They pick a favorite book, and pretty soon they know everything.
Which is crucial. That is crucial to early learning reading skills. It's not just, they just have it memorized. That's wonderful. Yes, it isn't reading on its own, but it's a crucial first step.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of repeated books at school, and nursery rhymes are crucial.
And you and I could probably go through a lot of old nursery rhymes, and you know, they stick in our heads.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're beautifully written, even though sometimes you think, what in the world, the cow jumped over the moon? But you know what, the children think that is hysterical. And when we went to the dairy, we said, can you imagine seeing one of these big cows jumping over the moon, and they laughed and laughed and laughed. So I don't
imagination.
Know. Yeah. And they hear the rhymes, and once you've heard quick stick a dozen, when you've played and jumped over a candlestick and played it dozens and dozens of times, you automatically start to learn that quick and stick rhyme without anyone drilling or any flashcards, or you just can hear, quick, what rhymes with that? Stick.
Uh-huh. So you've sort of talked about part of this, but I want you to kind of zero in a little more on ways kids learn.
Okay. Well, I think the most beneficial way for children to learn at this age is playing. And in play, they can play at their own level and reach just a little higher. And they're safe to do that because they're not being judged or evaluated. So there's a term for this, a zone of proximal development, which I think is very interesting. And that is the zone where you learn the very best. And this would be true of any age person. You learn the very best just a little bit above what you already mm-hmm. know. If someone asks you to do way more than that, if you came up to me and said, Laura, I'm going to teach you about physics, I would probably move my chair back a little and cross my arms and think, I don't know how to do anything like
that. And yet
that.
You do physics every day with those
yes.
kids.
But if you can just learn a little bit above what you know, then that's the best place to learn. And in play, children can do that. And in play, children can learn to negotiate and share and use each other's ideas. And so that is the very best place for children at this age to learn. And the other thing I think is crucial is authentic learning. If I just sat my children down and said, now we're going to work on these flashcards and learn our numerals, they would sort of zone out and maybe
wiggle and
yes.
squirm, and their attention is somewhere
else. There'd
be a
lot of nose picking.
Yeah.
But if we're playing a game, or after children have learned some numerals, and not even all of them, War is a fabulous game. I'm sorry for the name of it, War, and I've tried to think of a better name, but really it is just, that is the name of it. So anyway, it's wonderful for learning larger, greater than and less than, and recognizing more numerals. Even if they're not good at it, you can just kind of lead them through it, and pretty soon they know their numerals. So that's an authentic way to learn instead of...
And it, they probably, then it's in their... in however you're doing
absolutely.
In their heads right. rather than trying to memorize them. I mean, I don't remember the dates of a whole lot of things.
Constructed knowledge, it's yes. called. It's actually okay. inside you, and you're able to retrieve it and use it.
Okay, Laura, I think we need to visit again because there's so much to learn about children learning. So we want to thank you very much for coming today. Laura Olson is the lead teacher for four-year-olds at Little Lambs Preschool. And until next time, one of my favorite sayings is, play is the business of children.